respect yourself. Nah, 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 nah.
Oh, yeah. You know, back in the day, I used to put on some music before I would record one of these podcast things. I love this song so much. Na 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 na. It's like it's a wonderful song to drive to. That's in fact the first time I've heard it since the original times. This song goes back to the 70s, sometime in the 70s, and I don't know, it was one of many songs, but I was driving on Rock City Road in Woodstock, New York, and I don't know how it came to be on the sound system, but there it was, and it was, I had forgotten about all the great stuff in there. It's like, you know, you talking about the president, don't take care of air pollution. Put your hand on your mouth when you cough, that will help the solution. It's so important. It really is so important to remember that it's not the big gestures, because we don't get to make big gestures. Even President of the United States doesn't get to do that. I mean, maybe if things conspire and put you in the middle of destiny, then yeah, like Harry Truman and the decision to drop the bomb on Japan at the end of World War II. Okay, history put him in a place where he had to do something on a grand scale. But most of us, including people like Mark Andreessen, for example, we just don't get to do that. I mean, Mark Andreessen was there at a moment of great, incredible coincidence, or however you want to view it. And, you know, he executed, and he was very successful, and he's made a lot of money. But now he looks at this situation and concludes that it's in his interest to help overthrow the government of the United States. I mean, they're... He's, you know, what did Obama say? It's above my pay grade. It's like nobody has that much money to even want that kind of a power. You know, it's like standing on a subway platform in New York and realizing that look at all this power that's coming down there, this train, and that, you know, if I were to throw my body in front of it, I would be vaporized in an instant, just torn to pieces. You know, it's like. Or I had that experience once when a roommate of mine took me down to the shooting range and with a gun and to do target practice. And I actually shot a gun and I hated it. I fucking hated it. It's like, I don't want that power. I just rejected it. I mean, all I could think of is all the hell that would break loose if I just turned 90 degrees and shot the guy that was standing next to me. It's like this, you know, the subway thing. It's like, I don't want that power. You know, it's like, that's the warning signal is that I'm not prepared to deal with that. So, but when we all look at this situation, political situation, we don't respect ourselves because we are just people. And so we think of it in terms of here's somebody that's going to fix everything. And, you know, because he just seems to mean it. And come back to reality with me, because you know that doesn't actually happen. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It's a wish. It's a childlike wish. It's like you're wishing for... There was a time when there was somebody like that in your life. A parent. Your mother or father or both of them, or a relative, or somebody that had to take care of you, because you wouldn't have survived childhood without a lot of caring for. And life was certainly a hell of a lot simpler. I mean, my God. I remember the moment when I had to grow up. I mean, I bet a lot of people do. I remember the moment when I realized that the people that were supposed to be taking care of me weren't even taking care of themselves, that they were children themselves. I didn't form the thought exactly in that way, but I realized that I was responsible for myself that time, at that point, and I resented the hell out of it. And because actually at the age I was entitled to not have to do that. It wasn't a really good move on whatever. So anyway, so there's this tendency to all of us to feel like we're the people on CNN or Fox or MSNBC, and that we have to discuss problems at that scale. And then that includes members of the House of Representatives, people that are running for the Senate, Nancy Pelosi, who certainly has been called upon to do some super heavy lifting on behalf of all of us and has come through amazing feats. Nancy Pelosi, and she sees it as her destiny now, I imagine, because her name keeps coming up. And she's apparently going to do it again. But she has no idea what she's doing. And there's no, at least when in 2008, when the economy was melting down, there were some people that you could consult about things like these, like what was going on, because we had had crises like that before, and there were economists who studied it, and they had theories about what the economy would respond to. And this is all Ouija board shit, because it all has to do with mass psychology. I guess it's very similar to what we're dealing with right now. But this panic was, I'm rolling my eyes right now, because when the historians, if there is history, the historians will write about how nobody foresaw the problems that would come from what was happening here now, because they're unforeseeable. Well, and actually, you want to know something? I actually don't think they're all that unforeseeable, believe it or not. I think that we lose. If no matter what happens, I think if Biden steps aside, we lose. If Biden were to become incapacitated, that would be a whole different situation. Then the question of how quickly did the party, that's the role of the party here, in an emergency at least, how quickly did they rally and reorganize and get back on the saddle? Because you could get back onto the saddle. But here it would be self-inflicted and unnecessary. And instead of comparing Biden to the potential other candidates, I'll get to that in a second. It's like the dream candidate. Instead of comparing Biden to those people, we would be comparing the person who actually is the candidate now to Biden. When all we had to worry about was just one candidate, one very flawed candidate, okay? Not in a way that really matters, because we could totally reorient this whole thing if we were given half a chance. We could reorient it. And, you know, I would make the song of the campaign A Little Help from My Friends, the Beatles song. And obviously it's Ringo that's doing the singing, right? And Ringo is, as a character, is somebody who is, he could use them. It's not that he could use it. He was very competent. He was a great fucking drummer, it turns out. Not that anybody really understood that at the time, but he actually was a Beatle, for crying out loud. But of the four of them, he was the one who had humility and didn't want to go out on his own, or he didn't feel, maybe he did feel neglected. Yeah, well, anyway, but the point is that cast Biden in that role, President Biden, excuse me, and leave him right where he is. And the message now is, look, you're not buying me. I'll be there. And I'm going to bring all my experience with me. And that's really what you're getting with me, is the fact that actually experience really matters. This is a complicated job, and if you really want to win, you need somebody who knows how it works. But day to day, these are the people who are going to be doing the work. And bring them up. Some of them are famous. You know, there's Mayor Pete, for crying out loud. Put him on the freaking campaign trail. You know, let him go out and let him be the point man to respond, to lay out exactly what the plan is for the Democrats. And what he does is he is in meetings with Biden all the time, and he comes out and he speaks for the government. Yeah, we acknowledge that one of the president's strong points never was his ability to give an inspiring speech. The attraction of Joe Biden was that he understood how government works and he could make it work, and he did, and that's exactly what he did. And now we're going to give you the best communicator you've seen since John F. Kennedy. He might even be better than John F. Kennedy. Pete Buttigieg. He's got a terrible name. I have trouble pronouncing it. That's why I call him Mayor Pete. That I can get. Buttigieg is hard for me. I could spell it, actually. But and we'll all be saying, well, why didn't we see that? Well, because we didn't think about it. Because we were thinking like children who want a parent who will take great care of them. You know, now you dream. Let's dream about who would really be great. Well, okay, so Gretchen Whitmer is fantastic, and Gavin Newsom, he's fantastic. But I watched Gretchen Whitmer get interviewed the other day, and she got tired. She was really great. It was a long interview with a host on MSNBC, whose name I can't remember. And she was great for the first like 15 minutes. It was a half hour interview, but then she started stumbling and, you know, it's like, yeah, you dream of Gretchen Whitmer, you know, because she's incredibly attractive. I mean, that's how I see her. It's just like, she just radiates power, energy, caring, leadership, tough. She's got it all. I mean, she's just like, that's the story. And you don't need more than a couple of minutes of that to say, yeah, that's exactly what I want. You know, and why? Because she'd be a really good parent, actually. Yeah, so there's that, you know, and there's Gavin Newsom, who I remember when they were introducing Kamala, they criticize him for mispronouncing her name, but I have trouble with it too. Kamala Harris, excuse me. They were rolling her out as the candidate for vice president. And honestly, she was not doing a very good job of rolling herself out. And of course, we know that Biden is not a good speaker, so he didn't do a good job. And so they put Gavin Newsom out to talk about her. Why? Because he's the governor of California. She comes from California. She was the senator. She, at the time, was a senator from California. And he happens to be a phenomenal speaker. I mean, you give that guy his talking points and he nails it. I mean, he's got to come in knowing what to say. But when you do, he nails it. He can think on his feet. He can steer the question back to a place where he wants to talk with, and you don't even realize he's doing it. He's great. He's awesome. But then I saw him in this stupid debate with Ron DeSantis, I think it was. And I thought, well, you know, there's not going to be any competition there because Newsom's going to completely clean his clock, you know. And he didn't. He didn't. I don't think he prepared for it. And he was awful. If he had been in a presidential debate pulling that shit, everybody would have said, now everybody will always say, oh, we got to get him off the ticket. It's an emergency. He can't do the debate. You know, he was bad. He wasn't as bad as Biden, but it was close. Except it wasn't a big deal because it didn't matter. It really, obviously, didn't matter. Maybe it didn't look like it didn't matter at the time, but it didn't matter. So I'm sorry to say that if you were to somehow without insulting anybody or, you know, whatever, could get him to be the new candidate, there would be a moment when you would realize that maybe Biden wasn't actually all that bad. Maybe we should have stuck with him. Because he's a human being too, like every freaking candidate we've ever had. And they fuck up. And they do shit. And they have weaknesses. And, you know, sometimes the weakness in Hillary Clinton, for example, what's her weakness? You know, it's really actually hard to find one in her, but here it is. She's had 30 plus years of being completely obliterated by the press. And, of course, serving the Republicans who feed them the talking points. And she's just, it's just been incessant. It's been, you know, she was telling everybody who she was. She was being very honest about it at the beginning of the Clinton campaign. And you know, with not her campaign, but Bill Clinton's campaign, she was the wife. And she said something like, oh, you know, I'm not the kind of mom who bakes oatmeal cookies or something like that. Obviously true, right? I mean, you know, look at her track record. Look at her resume at that point. I mean, she was a real powerful person. He was more photogenic, I guess, and he was a man, so it made it much easier to sell. And she's, you know, he's tall and he's attractive and he's confident. He gives a great fucking speech, you know. So he's good at that, but it's clear that the other half of it was Hillary Clinton. You were getting a twofer here, for crying out loud. And so of course she doesn't make oatmeal cookies, for Jesus. Give me a break. But yes, no, they nailed her on that one. And they nailed her every time she showed any humanity for 30 years. And she got really good at putting on a face. And the net result of that was she's inauthentic. You can't trust her. She's never straight. It's like, is that really fair? You made it impossible for her to be herself. And now you're saying that's the problem. What human being can possibly get through that kind of a maze at the other end and be convincing? Yet she would have been a phenomenal president. She would have been an awesome president, because a presidency is a job. It's just that. It's a really hard job, but it's a job. And the Republicans that we've elected are people that do not work. But lately, you know, and it's actually, I guess the last one that really worked was the first Bush. And he was a serious president. He really cut corners in the campaigning. I mean, he was nasty in the campaign. And he doesn't come off as a nasty guy. And he probably really isn't in his heart. But he figured that that's what you got to do to win. And he did. But I think he ran against Dukakis. Who was the guy who ran around on the tank looking like an idiot. They all have weaknesses, you see. And, so then you had Reagan before that. And then you had a guy who really did work, Nixon. And, you know, and he was a dream candidate now. I mean, you'd love to have Nixon instead of Trump, right? Nixon never had dreams of being Mussolini. Okay, my dream candidate. Now I said, if you're really gonna dream, let's fucking go for it. You know, it's like I said, how about Rick from Casablanca? I mean, here's a guy who would make a great freaking president. My God, if you've seen the movie, I think you know what I'm talking about. He manages single-handedly to defeat the Nazis. Not exactly. But that's really the feeling at the end of the movie is that he's so cool. I'm sorry if I'm spoiling this for you, by the way, but I probably am, but I apologize. I'll put a note in the show notes for this to warn you that you don't want to listen to this if you don't want the spoiler. But, I mean, you end that movie with the greatest feeling of satisfaction. That there really is such a thing as love, and yet there's something greater than that. Is that the message of Casablanca? And is that what you want from your father? You know, as George Lakoff nailed it, I don't know, 30 years ago. And he's a Democrat. He's a linguist. He retired now, but he was at UC Berkeley. And he realized that the voices of the two parties in the United States, the Republicans are the strict father, and the Democrats are the nurturing mother. And that's how we see them. And if they ever step out of character, we reject that. That's why we're not comfortable with Biden, by the way, because he's no longer and coming with strict comes strength. That's why, you know, Trump's always using that. Trump, strong. And they're weak. And it was easy to say that about Hillary. And now it's really easy to say it about Biden. But the moral of the story, okay, having covered all this stuff, and I'm sure you can have the fantasies, enjoy yourself. You know, find a movie character, a fictional character who you think would make a fantastic president. You know, maybe it's Logan Roy from Succession. Maybe that's your idea, who would make a fantastic president, you know? Or you know, Martin Sheen from Bartlett from The West Wing. I mean, God, what a great president he would be. I mean, you could quote him, he's so smart. But, yeah, he had a great screenwriter writing his lines for him. It wasn't that he was smart, it's that the writing was so... Well, if you don't like it, then you won't like what I mean, I love it, you know. It's like, you could just... I mean, I recommended, and I did it myself, going through the whole series during the 2016 campaign, thinking that it'll all be over soon enough and we can go back to, you know, believing that the West Wing is what we have. But and it's a good fantasy. It's a fucking incredible fantasy. You definitely, if you need to feel good about the world, that's a good one to watch. Although Elizabeth Spears in the New York Times wrote a piece about how we have to give up on that idea, and she's so right. I mean, my God, there are very few op-eds in the New York Times these days that I'm willing to endorse because I hate what they're doing. I really do, but that was a great piece. So remember this. This is the punchline. Your vote is a chess move. It's not a love letter. I'm sorry, the president is not going to be your father or your mother. But it's a job. And you're hiring somebody to do that job, and somebody who is trustworthy and who will stay within the parameters of what it means to be president without anybody having to watch them and sue them and take them to court and all the rest of that shit. You know, somebody who also at this point will start to put things back on track with the Supreme Court. That's an important one. We have fallen off the cliff with climate change. It's going to call for some real radical thinking at this point, clear thinking, scientific thinking. We need to deal with that. That's really, really important. And I don't think there is that much distance between the different Americans. It's like, I think this is all overplayed about how polarized we are. I don't really think we are that polarized. I think that because I listened to the interviews that the reporters did with the people who were at the assassination attempt, and there was no time to choose your people carefully. And people were reacting to something that had happened that they had no chance to rehearse. And the things they said are the things that any American would say. Doesn't matter who the candidate would be. We would all agree with what they said. Nobody said any of the kind of bullshit that Trump said. They were our people. We are their people. And somehow we need to start talking without going through the people who have the incentives to keep us from communicating with each other and loving each other and loving ourselves and respecting ourselves. Now, with that, I have to apologize for my karaoke at the beginning of this episode, but I think I'm actually going to publish this one. So anyway, thanks for listening. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.